all Scripture is inspired, breathed out by God, and not some, but all Scripture is. And we have some problems. Non-believers, they will take a little Scripture here and there and say, I like that one, that's good for me. No, like that one, that's not very good.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as the new year approaches, I just wanted to say Happy New Year to you and your family.
Well, thank you, Dave, and Happy New Year to you and your family also, and to all of our listeners.
And Greg, your message today might be considered spirituality 101, going back to the basics.
Indeed it will, Dave, and what we're going to be discussing today is the bedrock for all spiritual growth. It's the foundation which all spiritual development is built upon. So if you want to really grow spiritually, then stay tuned for today's edition of Equipping the Saints. Our passage is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, if you have stepped into the doors of a modern evangelical church these days, you might be surprised to see what goes on Sunday after Sunday. I remember a few years ago, maybe quite a few years ago, an ad coming to our front door for a church that was in our area, a secret church, and I was truly appalled at what I saw. They were trying to basically manipulate unbelievers to come to their church, come enjoy Starbucks, Krispy Kreme donuts, rockin' music. You know, and it just appalled me because that's not the intent of the church. The church is for believers to gather together to be built up. And if perhaps an unbeliever comes in and hears the word, they might fall down on their knees and repent. And then we are built up to go into the world. But we see this, and I have no doubt that that church at that time, I don't know about it now, was true to their advertisement. This is what they did. There's many discouraging stories these days about leadership in modern evangelical churches trying to woo and manipulate people to get them into the church so that they can, quote, get them saved and then work them around like a baseball diamond, whatever it might be, to get them right with the Lord. But the reality is, the way that we grow is not ordained through man's wisdom. God has made it clear in His Word how we grow in our walk with Him. And so today we're going to take a little break from our Psalms and we're going to take a look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3? And we're going to look at a passage that I like to share every once in a while. It's very important. It's foundational for us. And we're going to see how we grow in our relationship with Christ. And we know this, but yet we need to be reminded because our growth in Christ is an everyday thing. You see, when we forget God's principles, when we forget His truth on a practical basis, we then end up being stunted in our walk with the Lord, and we need to be reminded of those things. So that's what we're going to see today. So turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17, and I'm going to give you a brief context of this wonderful book. We see in chapter 1, verse 2, that Paul is writing to Timothy. And what do we know about Timothy? Timothy was a native of either Derbe or Lystra, and those are two little towns in Galatian province. His mother was a Jew by the name of Eunice, his grandmother Lois. They were both saved, and evidently his father was a Greek. Now, we know that because he had not been circumcised when he joined the Apostle Paul, which is an indication that he was probably educated under Greek culture. We also know from chapter 1, verse 3, that he was also informally instructed or educated from his mother and grandmother, and he learned the truths concerning salvation through faith in Jesus Christ from the scriptures they shared with him. Now, that's a good grandmother. That's a good mother that shares the truth of God with those children, with their kids, and we see it with Timothy. Now, although we don't know the exact time Timothy came to Christ, we know that his grandmother and mother most likely laid the foundation or it happened with them. But we do know that by the time that he met Paul in Acts 16, that he had become a disciple and was such a proven young man that Paul wanted to take him along with him on his journey. Actually, I don't think we know how much Timothy was a part of the Apostle Paul's life. He speaks of him as his son in the Lord, his son in the faith, his true child, his brother, his co-worker, his fellow servant, his fellow slave. Timothy was close to the Apostle Paul. He was with Paul in Philippi, in Thessalonica, in Berea, in Corinth, in Ephesus, and Rome. And he was associated with Paul in his writings of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Philippians. And when Paul wrote Romans, Timothy was there, as we see as well. Timothy was of great use to the Apostle Paul. We see that in Philippians chapter 2. He was willing to do anything the Apostle Paul wanted him to do in the Lord. And he was of great use and a blessing to the Apostle Paul. Now, what do we know about the book of 2 Timothy? As I've shared, it was written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy and most likely written sometime around 66-67 AD. The Apostle Paul, chapter 1, verse 16, is imprisoned falsely as a criminal. Chapter 2, verse 9, he's likely under house arrest in Rome. This is not what we see in the end of Acts, where he was under house arrest. This was actually during Nero's great persecution. And apparently the Apostle Paul understood that he was probably going to be executed soon. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 for a moment, just page over a little bit to verse 5. The Apostle Paul shares, "But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing." And he says, "Make every effort to come to me soon." The Apostle Paul was aware by the Lord that his time for his going to the Lord had come. And this historically puts the beheading of Paul by Nero sometime around 66-67 AD. So that's right around when this was written. And this letter we have here are the Apostle Paul's last words to his true child in the faith. So think about it. If you have ministered dearly with someone year after year after year, they've been faithful in the Lord and you're sharing your last words to them. This is very important. They're his last words to his beloved bondservant. The most important thing Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, wants to tell Timothy before he dies. And within this letter, the letter is woven through. It has warnings concerning threats to the Word of God and contrasts with exhortations to those threats, to guard, to retain, to entrust a faithful man, to handle accurately, to teach, correct, to continue and preach the Word of God. The tremendous exhortations in light of the threats that are there. In chapter 1, Timothy was encouraged concerning his faith, his calling, and was encouraged not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and of Paul, his servant, but instead to retain the standard of sound words and to guard the treasure that had been entrusted to him, even in the midst of persecution. In chapter 2, we see Timothy was encouraged to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to entrust the Word of God to faithful men who will teach others, to suffer hardship, to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. And then, as we remember, as a servant of Christ, as he suffers, that he would suffer also. And as Paul was imprisoned, that although he was imprisoned, the Word of God was not imprisoned. And Timothy was further encouraged to not wrangle about words, but be a workman of the word, unashamed, handling accurately God's truth. And he was to avoid ungodly and worldly talk, which spread like gangrene. And although a large house has many vessels, honorable and dishonorable, he was exhorted to be an honorable vessel, a useful vessel, having fled youthful lusts, not being quarrelsome, but gentle, correcting those in opposition. And then in chapter 3, we see the horrifying reality that difficult times will come. And so with that in mind, let's read chapter 3 together. Turn back to the beginning of the chapter that we're looking at. And Paul tells Timothy, "But realize this, You got to realize this, Timothy, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And he's going to explain. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow, at that point you'd say that was Adolf Hitler's family, right? I don't know. That sounds like the most evil people in the world, doesn't it? But notice what it says here. He says here, holding to a form of godliness. These are people who are this wicked, but yet they hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And avoid such men as these. Avoid them. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led by various impulses, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Very interesting. They're gaining knowledge in a sense, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. He says here, and just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those who came to be. But you, the contrast here, but you, and he's speaking to Timothy, followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, sufferings, such as happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, again he's speaking to Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then our passage, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. In contrast to the bad guys, Timothy, in contrast to them, follow Paul's example. Continue in the things that you have learned, and he's speaking of the Word of God. And as I shared, that brings us to our passage where we see so clearly, as I just read, and I want to read it again, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. These are Paul's last words to Timothy. These wonderful verses are really the key to ministry, the key to what should be going on in churches, the key to what pastors should be doing, the key to what we should be receiving. And here, we're going to be reminded today of the nature of his word and the nature of its profitability and the purpose that God has ordained. So first of all, let's take a look at the nature of his word. Verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Now, as I mentioned, these verses are not isolated. They're not an isolated set. Now, we memorize verses. We have certain verses we memorize, and praise the Lord for that. But we do need to understand the context in which these verses have come. I just shared it with you a minute ago. The contrast is evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the implication is they're going to do things that twist and manipulate the Word of God or pretend to be those who are from God. But you, Timothy, you stick with the Word of God because all Scripture is inspired by God. It's God's Word. He says all Scripture is God's very word. It's God's word. It's inspired by God. Now the word Scripture here comes from the Greek word graphe. It speaks of the written word. And that's important. We see the word Scripture speaks of the written word. It's where we get our English word graphite from, where we have pencils, so we get that understanding of writing. Now we need to realize in context that verse 16 is the word of God. Notice what he says in verse 15. He talks about the sacred writings, the hieros, grammata, sacred or holy writings. Scripture is the written word. It's God's word, as we will see. And he says, all scripture is inspired by God. Theopneustos, it is literally God-breathed. Some translations even translate it that way. All scripture is God-breathed. The implication is it's come from his mouth. He has spoken it. He is the one who has spoken what has been recorded in his word. It is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired, breathed out by God, and not some, but all scripture is. And we have some problems. Non-believers, they will take a little scripture here and there and say, I like that one, that's good for me. No, like that one, that's not very good. They don't believe that all scripture is inspired by God. As we'll see, they don't have the Spirit of God. But then we as believers can get caught up in sin where we believe all scripture is inspired by God, but yet we don't believe it personally in certain areas or aspects of our lives because of the difficulty it might bring about if I was to obey or follow those truths. But the reality is, all scripture is God-breathed. Now, at this point, there would be some who say, well, he's only speaking of the Old Testament because the New Testament hadn't been completely written right now. Well, we know certainly the Old Testament was breathed out by God. We know that God, in many ways, in many portions, through the fathers, from the prophets, spoke and now has spoken through his Son, Hebrews chapter 1. We know, as we saw in Romans chapter 1, that the gospel of God was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It was recorded in the Word of God. And we know that the Lord Jesus himself relays that the Old Testament are the Scriptures, the written Word of God. Turn to Luke chapter 24. And this is the Lord Jesus graciously coming upon those disciples who had left Jerusalem on the third day and were talking about the resurrection, but yet didn't believe it. And Jesus came alongside them. Isn't that wonderful? Luke 24, verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in what? In all the scriptures. And look down a little farther, verse 32. And they said to one another, this is after Lord Jesus had disappeared from their sight and revealing himself to them. And they said to one another, were our hearts not burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining what? The scriptures to us. And then look at verse 44. Now he said to them, this is Jesus, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. All things that were written about me. And then it says, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. John 5:39, Jesus reproves the Jews. He says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. You search the written word, but it bears witness of me. So then all scripture is God-breathed. It is from his mouth. It is his word. Now some people say, okay, I buy the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, hold your fingers in 2 Timothy and go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, he says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. One's an Old Testament quote, and the second one, the laborer is worthy of his wages, is from the Gospel of Luke. So he's even relaying to Timothy back earlier that that is the scriptures also. So then, the Apostle Paul is no way limiting the scriptures by putting in this modifier. The term all means all. All scriptures inspired by God. And even in 2 Peter chapter 3, we have the Apostle Peter speaking of Paul's writings as scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, turn there, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says 2 Peter 3:15, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which some of them are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the Scriptures, implying that his word is the Scriptures, to their own destruction. Indeed, when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, rebuking them concerning their pride, he made it clear that his word, 1 Corinthians 14, was the Lord's commandments. Let him recognize the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So then all Scripture, New and Old Testament, is literally God-breathed. But you might say, how did God do that? How did God bring forth his word and put it on paper? Didn't man write the word of God? Didn't man do it? How is it God's word on paper? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. God inspired men to speak his word. Men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. We have the tremendous reality that it is the Spirit of God that brought about the word of God through his willing servants. So here we have God who had moved men to speak by his Spirit, his word, and thus all Scripture is God-breathed. And folks, we have the completed word of God. We have the word once for all delivered to the saints in Jude 1:3. We have the warning in Revelation chapter 22 to not add or subtract from God's word. All Scripture is literally God-breathed. It's God's word. And indeed, in 1 Peter chapter 4, those who had speaking gifts were to speak as they were the utterances of God. They were to speak God's word. And if you've genuinely been saved, you'll receive God's word as what it really is. And those who share it will rejoice over that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. Praise the Lord, you received it as God's word for what it really is. It's from him. And on a side note, if you don't believe the word of God, you're not a believer. If you don't accept the word of God, you're not his child. You see, the true believer accepts the word of God. In fact, this is an indicator of whether one is saved. It's not the only indicator, but it's one indicator. In John 10, Jesus makes it clear, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me."
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what thoughts do you have for our listeners?
Well, Dave, first of all, I just want to thank and praise the Lord for all that he has done over the last 12 months to the ministry of Equipping the Saints. Indeed, we have had the great privilege to see people come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, and we've received hundreds of encouraging calls, emails, and letters from people all over the United States telling us how the broadcast has impacted their lives. And so we are just so thankful for what God is doing. And I also just want to personally thank all of those who have supported this ministry through your prayers and your financial support. We are so thankful for what God is doing through you. There's just no way we could do this ministry apart from God providing through you, and we are so thankful. So with that in mind, from all of us at Equipping the Saints, may our Lord bless you, and may 2025 be the best year ever in Christ. Happy New Year.
As we close today's broadcast, here's a special message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Now, if this broadcast is something that you have been blessed by, as the year comes to a close, I would encourage you to pray about making a year-end gift to help this broadcast continue. You see, we can't continue apart from God's provision through listeners like you. So would you pray about giving a year-end gift to the ministry of Equipping the Saints? We would so appreciate the Lord's help through you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to contact Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 1-800-596-9144, or at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time for another edition of Equipping the Saints.